Erev Shabbat Shalom. This week we have another double parsha, Bahar B'chukotai, and I want to actually highlight a nuance in one of the parshiot in Bahar, which normally does not receive the kind of attention that it, I think it deserves. And it sort of jumped off the page at me because of the fallout or the ramifications that have played themselves out here in Israel over the past week in the wake of the horrific tragedy that took place last week at Meron. The parsha itself would have, as I said, there's all kinds of other things we could talk about, but I want to emphasize something which is sort of off the beaten track. At the end of Bahar, Bahar talks about the starts with the mitzvah of the sabbatical year, that 1 year out of seven, the land goes fallow. In order to renew it, in order to emphasize that, in fact, it's God who owns the land and not man. So it teaches us humility, among other things. Then the parsha continues with the description of the Jubilee year, in which is sort of like a rebooting of the agricultural land situation in the land of Israel. Everybody goes back to, gets back their original ancestral lands, and we start all over again. And in that context, the Torah talks about the fact that that Jewish indentured servants are liberated in the Jubilee year. And in fact, the verse from this parsha is inscribed, embossed on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. Kratim dror ba'aretz l'chol yosheveha, and proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. Which also was taken by Cecil B. DeMille as the last line of the Ten Commandments, and that following that, almost in organic order, or sort of like an organic extension, there's a whole bunch of rules that deal with the question of tzedakah, not charity. Tzedakah. There's a fundamental difference. This is nothing original about this, but a lot of people don't realize that tzedakah and charity are not the same thing. Charity comes from the Latin word caritas, which is a Latin translation of a Greek word, all of which comes down to meaning outpouring of emotion, which leads in sympathy and empathy, which leads you to do something good for someone else. And you really need that moment of empathy with the other person in order to generate the act of giving alms. The word tzedakah means that it's justice. In other words, it is a just thing. The Torah commands you that you have to give tzedakah. It comes down to what my late mother-in-law would say, that if a person puts their hand out, you put in money. I mean, it doesn't matter how much money is another story, but you give. And that distinction is very, very important because it's not, tzedakah is not a purely subjective thing. If you see somebody else in need, then you have to give. That's the way it is. I mean, that's the Torah commands, irrespective of how you feel about it. Now, that is true, but it's also true that tzedakah, if it's properly undertaken, if support and help is properly done, then they are a result, or they is a result, of identification, of emotional identification, and a sense of individual, a sense of mutual responsibility and bonds of affection. And we see this actually in this parsha, because on all of the occasions when the Torah talks about, at the end of Bahar, which is halfway through the double parsha, of course. But at the end of Bahar, when the Torah discusses the obligations to help a fellow Jew in need, it constantly uses the word achicha. It constantly words your brother. So, for example, v'chiktim karu. I'm sorry. Where are we here? V'chiyamuch achicha. When your brother is down on his luck, and he has to sell his ancestral inheritance. Then there's an obligation for a person to help him redeem it and get it back. Next, again. If your brother is down on his luck, much means yamuch is down. So if he finds himself down on his luck, if he finds he's in financial straits, okay, umata yadoimach, and his capacity to make a living is impossible. Then at that point, v'cheyachicha imach. Then you are obligated to sustain him. You are obligated to make it possible for him, for your brother, to live with you. And you shouldn't lend him the money at interest. You should give him a free will loan. You should give what's called a gemilut chesed, interest-free loan. And then you have another one. If your brother becomes down on his luck, he has no money, and he sells himself to you, he indentures himself to you as a servant. The Torah goes on and talks about how you should treat him, but you should pick up his option because he needs to make a living, and on and on and on and on. And on. Everything is achicha, achicha, achicha. So Rabbi Soloveitchik, on a number of occasions, pointed out that the word for fellow or human being or friend, there are many, many words in Hebrew, or a number of different words in Hebrew for friend. One of them is re'ah, and one of them is chaver. And even within chaverut, within friendship, that's the normal word that we use, there are different levels. There are occasional friends, and there are, there are occasional friends, and there are lifelong friends. And then the Rambam says the highest level is chaver ledayah, when a person who really, that you have the same values and you have the same ideals and you share the same vision, that's the strongest kind of friendship. And then there's yedid, which is a really intimate friendship. We always say yedid usually comes together with yedid nefesh, a beloved friend, a soulmate. But beyond all of those, but the Torah in its legal sections contrasts re'ah and ach. Re'ah and ach. What is a re'ah? The Torah, whenever it talks about civil law, discusses in the context of I break somebody's window. So if I break the window of re'i, of my friend, then I have to pay for it. What actually obligates me is the fact that I caused somebody else damage. That's a matter of civility. That's a matter of two people have to live in the same country. If you hurt them, if you injured them, if you caused damage, then you have to pay for it. There's no emotional end to it. You might be embarrassed or whatever, and you should ask forgiveness for having caused damage to their window or whatever the case might be. But nevertheless, it's a functional matter of that's how we live together. People who are re'im are people who know how to live together and respect each other, but there's not necessarily an intimate or emotional tie between the two. And the truth of the matter is, if you break somebody's window, the law comes and says you have to pay for their window. You don't need rocket science to do that. The cases here in our parsha where we talk about supporting somebody else are of a whole different order. Because there's nothing in the law there's nothing inherent to living with somebody else that says you have to give them money if they're down on their luck. Nothing in any legal system demands or should demand, well maybe they should but it doesn't, that you give a loan, or that you give a hand up, or that you hire somebody. That's of a whole different order. So Rabbi Soloveitchik, I'm quoting from a collection of his drashot, of his teachings, called Vision and Leadership. It's about Moses and Joseph, or Joseph and Moses. He writes as follows. As long as one is cognizant of the existence of others, one is characterized as a reya, an acquaintance or a neighbor, a person with whom you have to live. But the very instant that one begins to perceive another, not just to know him, but to feel his existence, experiences joys and frustrations, agonies and hopes, one turns from a reya into an ach, a brother. This is a higher degree of coexistence, of interrelatedness and companionship. Brothers are united by existential bonds, one destiny, one memory. The precepts of tzedakah and gemilu chasadim, tzedakah is generally money, gemilu chasadim is when you actually physically do something for someone, are nurtured by the doctrine of the sympathetic. Not sympathetic in the sense I feel bad. Sympathetic in the sense that I experience it, when that I experience somebody else's pain. I identify with it and I wish to take away that person's pain because he is my brother. Brotherly open existence. In speaking of tzedakah, and that's what we're talking about in our parsha, the Torah constantly employs the term ach, not reya. On the other hand, when the Torah speaks about civil law, not to inflict harm on someone, it employs the term reya. The fact that he is my neighbor imposes a duty and an obligation upon me. I should respect his property and his rights. I must not inflict any harm or damage on him. But this does not entitle the reya to my support, that I should share his troubles and be helpful to him in times of need. For that, the bond of reya is too weak. You need a stronger bond, that of ach, or brother. Now, the reason why that's what underlies, that's what ties together Jewish communities, that's what ties together the Jewish people as a whole, and that sense of brotherhood and sisterhood is exactly what lies behind the assumption that a person will give tzedakah, and will give tzedakah in a way that is not just a question, which does not just include writing a check, but giving your heart as well. We expect that even though you might not feel it initially, you might not you're not going to sit there and look at people who have infirmities like on some of the telephones, but when you see a person in trouble, you will feel an identification with them and know, well, that's me and he's me. I am him and he is I, and therefore our mutual obligations and our mutual identification that we're in this together and we have the same family, same destiny, even though we might be very different, it comes to expression in my willingness, readiness to support. Now, why did I think that this was so important this week in terms of the disaster in Meron? The response of the Israeli population has been incredible this week. Okay, and in this, by the way, it's not just Jews, it's also Arabs. The sight of caring, the type of drawing together, which were a daily, hourly sight throughout the country, has been amazing. People throughout the country all of a sudden stood up in line for hours to donate blood for the wounded. When there were individuals a number of the people who died were from out of the country, they weren't from Israel. Thousands of people came who never heard, who never saw this, never didn't know the person who had been killed, and they came to his funeral to give him a proper send off, a proper funeral, a proper accompaniment, levayat hamet, a proper accompaniment to in their last journey. During the shivas, people from all over the country went to shivas of people they never saw. There was one woman who lived in Jerusalem who had made aliyah. They didn't have their children with them, or they didn't have children they didn't have children at all. The woman lived in Yerushalayim. Her husband died last week, and a WhatsApp and a tweet went out that this woman is all alone, and they really should not be alone during Shiva. And when somebody I know went to go make the Shiva call, they said it was crazy. There were thousands of people there, and all kinds of religious and non-religious and Ashkenazim and Sephardim, and it didn't matter. Why? Achicha. Nobody forced them. In fact, yes, they were asked, but there was this sort of expectation. This is what you do with a brother and a sister. What Lincoln once called the mythic bonds, or mystic bonds, that tie hearts together. It's from Lincoln's, I'm referring to Lincoln's second inaugural, were everywhere in evidence. So that it's really not surprising, or it's not a coincidence, I don't think, that we read this parsha this week, because it's dafka in this connection that we learn, or we receive a certain amount of consolation, that despite the kinds of deep rifts and the type of horrific things that have been said and screamed and broadcast in the course of the past 2 years of endless elections between the various sectors of society, and specifically between the Haredi ultra-Orthodox community, which bore almost the entire brunt of the casualties last week, and the rest of the community in all of its variety, that at the end of the day, when your brother is down, you have to bend over and pick him up. Not because only because the Torah tells you to, but because the Torah expresses what's at the heart of a brother that you want to. It's a very consoling and very positive way to end the book of Vayikra, and we will see you next week. Shabbat Shalom.